setting the pace on the pursuit of happiness. This is the Ken Coleman Show, where you discover what you were born to do and how to make it happen. Now, helping you make Mondays great again, Ken Coleman.
A warm welcome from Nashville. You are joining a conversation about who you are, what you were born to do, where you want to be, how you can get there. Thrilled to have you aboard. We'll take your calls in a few minutes. 844-747-2577 is the number to jump in. I want to share a story with you I was reading over the weekend. And this is a very inspiring story because I think many times we see very successful people. We think, well, they had it better than us. They had different circumstances. They had more wind beneath their wings. That's what we do. We separate ourselves a bit. And I think that's a real mistake because before they were successful, they were just like you. And what did they do different? And this is a story I want to share with you because it speaks to the power of clarity, of really being able to visualize what it is you want to do, where you want to go, what you want to be. So Steven Spielberg, legendary Hollywood director, read a story about a conversation he had with his dad when he was younger. He was in high school, and he's already dreaming of making movies. So he tells his dad one day, Arnold Spielberg, he says, I want to be a director. So his dad, and parents, listen up here, because if this conversation happens, put yourself in Spielberg's dad's shoes here. This is really important. So Spielberg's dad says, something to the effect of, okay, if you want to be a director, you're going to have to start at the bottom. You got to be a gopher, work your way up. Which, by the way, that's not incorrect. But that was the default answer. And it's true. However, so young Steven Spielberg says to his dad, no, the first movie I make, I'm actually going to be the director. And this story cites his dad's response, which was, it blew his mind. He goes, it really took guts for him to say that. He was so impressed with his son's ambition that he decided to bankroll Steven's first film. It was entitled Firelight, a science fiction thriller. And it premiered in Phoenix, Arizona, all those many years ago. And one last little citation from the story. During the making of the film, Steven tells everybody he's working with on the film. At some point, he makes the quote, I'm going to be the Cecil B. DeMille of science fiction. Now, Cecil B. DeMille is a legendary director. So he says this, but hear how clear the comment is. He says, I'm going to be the Cecil B. DeMille of science fiction. He knows his niche as a teenager, making his first film. Let's just fast forward, shall we? How about Jurassic Park, Men in Black, Transformers, E.T., Minority Report, Back to the Future, Gremlins, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, and more and more and more. And those are some of the older than they are, this new stuff. Think about that. He was absolutely crystal clear about what he wanted to do and who he wanted to be. There's huge power there. It propels you. So the first step in moving into your sweet spot, living in your sweet spot, thriving in your sweet spot, you have to have clarity. That's why we focus so much here on the show on discovery as being the first stage to living the life you were created to live. 844-747-2577 is the number. We get to the phones right now. LaToya is on the line in Atlanta. LaToya, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken.
How are you, LaToya?
I'm good. How are you?
I cannot complain. What's going on today?
I am calling for a tune-up.
Okay. I like this.
We had talked several weeks ago and kind of identified that my passion was for teaching, and I was to look for more teaching opportunities. Mm-hmm. Come to find out, it was more specific of what I like to teach. And I did identify that because I do work in human resources.
Which is what? Give me the update. So what did you define?
It's aspects of it. So the class I taught, we got to focus on the career side, as far as identifying careers, getting the professionalism together, how to interview your resume, even budget. That was my favorite part, mm-hmm. Doing the finances. But that's my knack. Even here at work, my coworker's like, you need to just do your own resume company, because I'm constantly helping people with their resume. I've had people offer to pay me, and I'm like, no, I'm just doing it because I'm nice. That's my ministry. That's what I tell myself. Mm-hmm. Even my husband, he was just like, I did one of his. He's like, why aren't you getting paid for this?
Right.
And I think it's more, I like to teach people that and get them better. Mm-hmm. And I end up having one-on-one counseling sessions at work with employees who need help.
Mm-hmm. What kind of help?
They're needing help identifying their career path.
Mm-hmm.
We do have a career development program that we assist with and we facilitate.
Mm-hmm.
And I've taken over that completely.
Mm-hmm.
But just being able to kind of calm people down, realize they're not necessarily on a career path. They're just trying to make money.
Yeah.
And I make them kind of stop, pause, and think.
Mm-hmm.
But kind of teaching in that aspect and then helping them with their resume, teach them how to use those action words, and that your resume is kind of like a movie trailer. You want to mm-hmm. get them enticed, to get them to kind of get you in, because I recruit for a living.
Mm-hmm.
So I know, and I'm thinking it's just more of helping people that way and teaching them those skills.
Good. So on the first call, you were just kind of confused, I'm guessing, and we were just locked in on passion, and we found out that you love teaching. So you kind of looked into that, I'm guessing. Is that right? Is that what happened?
Yeah, I'm actually not teaching this upcoming semester
because mm-hmm.
My husband's going back to school full time. It can't fit in my schedule.
Okay.
And so I found teaching people how to do their resume. Cause I don't necessarily do their resumes for them.
Mm-hmm.
I like to teach them so they can do it themselves.
Gotcha. So what's the tune-up? What can I help with today?
It's just, I guess, finding out, is that something that I can pursue? I bought Christy Wright's book.
Uh-huh.
To see, but I'm like, maybe I just need to do it as a nonprofit, because I do feel like it's more of a ministry.
Yeah, well,
I
think you're asking the right questions. So what's your gut tell you? Just answer yourself for right now, because we're not going to lock you into that answer. But what do you think your answer is?
I think it would need to be like a nonprofit, because I'm just looking at the caliber of people that I'm helping and that appreciate it the most.
Yeah.
I know they don't have funds.
That's right.
Yeah, and I'm not doing it for the money.
That's right. Well, I love that answer. Because the challenge I was going to have is, I was sitting there thinking, as you were telling me about this idea of resume writing, or at least coaching people on how to do it, it's not a sustainable business that has a lot of profit in it. You know what I mean? Just that one service. If it were a part of a bigger, you know, suite of services, if you will, as a career counselor, I think that's obviously, you know, an element of being a career counselor. I know that there are people, in fact, I will tell you, my brain is running all the time on, you know, a network of career counselors throughout the United States, being a part of the Ken Coleman Show. I'm just teasing that. I haven't played that out all the way, but trust me and the team are thinking about that. So I think if you were to say, hey, Ken, I want to be a career counselor and people pay me for those services, that's one thing. But I think this idea of how much you love providing this service to people who, quite frankly, can't afford it, they don't even know how to do it, they need it more than anybody else because they're in dead-end jobs, they're in hourly jobs, they're kind of in a situation where they're on the bottom rung of the ladder, and you get great joy out of it. I can hear it in your voice when you talk about it.
Yeah, because we've talked to a few people out of going to for-profit schools. I sat there, I'm like, I want you to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
You can go $15,000 in debt, or you can go $5,000 and get the same thing and connect them with people with what they want to do. I enjoy doing that.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's it. I think right now, in the early phase, just keep doing it and expand your ministry. I love the word ministry there. I think that's exactly what it is in your heart. And I would continue to do it, and I would expand it. And then, who knows what's going to happen? Certainly could develop into a full-time nonprofit thing for you, where you make the switch and you jump over to that one day. Or, you know, it's just a ministry that, again, you know, very small, as far as you don't have to have a big staff and create this nonprofit structure. You don't have to do that. You can just continue to just help. So it really depends on where it grows and how many people you help, but it's going to fulfill you in so many ways, as it already is. And you're in recruiting, you enjoy a lot of that work. I just think for you, when we had that, you know, that first phone call, if we identified teaching as a passion, that doesn't necessarily, and this is what I love, folks, I'm so glad LaToya called back, because you went out and did some discovery. And just because teaching we identified as your passion does not mean that you have to be a K-12 teacher or a professor on the college level. There's so many ways to teach people. And you mentioned at the start of our phone call, you loved even teaching budget classes or Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University. So
yeah, I start that Monday or next month we start.
Right. So that's being a teacher.
Yes.
You know, and I love that, you know, again, it doesn't always have to be a full-time vocation, that passion part, or it's just a part of what you do. So you really are good at your job. You're doing very, very well. So, you know, I love this tune-up. this is really exciting. It's the first call we've had where somebody said, hey, I want a tune-up. And so I'm going to do a little quick commercial, LaToya. Hey, folks, that's why we're here. This is not a one-time call fix-all. This is a process, this idea of identifying in the discovery stage and then the planning stage and then the pursuing and then achieving, then receiving the benefits of all of that pursuing and achieving. And then why do you receive? In order to give. And LaToya, you're really giving yourself away. I think you're a model for what we're about here on the Ken Coleman Show. And I'm really blessed and humbled and thrilled that you called in today. But I think you're on the right path. I would help as many people as possible in those spaces and then see what grows organically. I think it's going to reveal itself to you. But you are right in your sweet spot, and you are using your passion of teaching and, quite frankly, your giftedness. Did we identify what your top talents were? Do you remember?
We did not.
Okay, I'm just going to guess that you're a great connector of people, and you're a really good communicator. Is that right?
I am, yeah, because I love to present to you and engage people and teach. I'm really an introvert, but it'll drain me, but I love doing it.
Yeah, right. Well, but you know what? It's interesting that you said that. It's a good draining, isn't it? You feel you're spent. Yes. You go home after all that teaching and connecting, and you're spent, but it's a good spent, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, well, that's it. Hey, isn't that what life's about, LaToya? Pouring ourselves out where we got nothing left. Who wants to go to eternity with a full glass? I don't.
Right.
I love it.
That helps so much. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for calling. Appreciate you so much. You really are the poster child for what we're trying to do here on the Ken Coleman Show. Love, LaToya. Our first tune-up call. How about that? Hey, that'll open up the game. Listen, there's no shame in your game. See, here's what's going to happen, and I'm fine with this on the Ken Coleman Show. You can call back, say, hey, I called a while back. Here's what we discussed. You gave me these steps. I went and did this. Got a couple questions here. This didn't work out this way. Or, hey, I lost my juice. I need some more juice. Listen, this is a process. This is not a quick fix. You know, I'm just going to go on a rant here. Okay, folks, the show's growing. We're helping people. I'm working through stuff and thinking through content. We're bringing you some resources and tools, things I can't talk about yet because, quite frankly, we're designing, we're building, we're paying attention to what you're saying. We're paying attention to what's working. And this conversation that's happening between me and you folks on the phone, and those of you who aren't even engaged on the phone, you're just listening. This is a living, breathing conversation. And it doesn't just end when the phone call is over. So these stages, discovery. Let me just break these down real quick. Because this is from my life. This is what happened in my life when I jumped out at the age of 31 into the abyss of just clear purpose, a clear mission. These were the stages for me. You got to discover. You got to really know who you are. That's why we focus on talent and passion and values. Talent, what I do best. Passion, what I love to do most. Values, the results that matter most to me. It's all about discovery. And that's what we do a lot on the phone here. Many of you call in, you know what it is, but how do I get there? So now that's the planning. That's stage two. Once I'm clear on who I am, where I want to go, we have to then plan. This is how I get there. And to the best of our ability, we want to plan things out and move. And then the third stage, ready? After we've got a plan, doesn't mean it's the perfect plan, but it is a plan, which means I know that I'm going to move forward. Then we pursue. That's the progress piece. We're just pursuing. And by the way, on the pursuit, there's going to be a lot of detours, a lot of pitfalls, curves in the road we didn't see, hairpin turns that throw us off. Obstacles that we cannot move. This is the pursuing stage, but hey, we're out there. And so LaToya, she called in, we did some discovery, she put a plan together, started pursuing, she called back in on a tune-up call. Hey, here's what I found. Kind of played with this idea of being a full-time teacher. That's not it. Here's what I really love to teach. But it was in the process, all of this is a process. All these stages are on the process. In the part of pursuing, She got more clarity. That's huge. Now she has even more clarity. So now she's achieving. She wants to achieve more. I'm going to continue to pursue, achieve, pursue, achieve. And as I'm pursuing and achieving results as a result of my action, I'm going to get some wins. And she's getting wins. And I don't know if you heard it, but this is a woman who's achieving some real life wins in helping people. And she's not getting paid for it, but she doesn't care. It feels awesome. And she's thinking, hey, it's my ministry, meaning I'm giving of myself to help others who otherwise would not get the help she's giving. It's massively important that you catch that. So what is she achieving? Is she achieving more money? No, she's achieving results with people. What is she receiving? Is she receiving more money? No, she's receiving the blessing of significance. Did you hear? She's an introvert. The very idea of working with people one-on-one or one-on-five or one-on-ten is exhausting for her. But it's a good exhaustion. Who among us doesn't want to sit down in our easy chair at night or before we crawl into the bed, at the last thing we do, we look at that pillow, and before we climb in the bed, we think to ourselves, did I matter today? Did I make a difference today? That's what we all want. So when we receive the results of achieving, whether it be money or just results, or both, by the way, because it will be both, LaToya will never want for money. I can just tell you that. And really the final stage that makes me the happiest, when we discover and plan and then pursue and then achieve, we will receive the blessings. Results, monetary, blessings. But what do? Do we just store it up? Put it in a big old silo? No, we give it away. So really, as we're pursuing, we're achieving, and we're receiving, and we're giving, and we're pursuing, and achieving, and receiving, and giving, and we're pursuing, and achieving, and receiving, and giving, and we're pursuing, achieving, receiving, giving. And when we look up whatever time we've been given on this planet by our Creator, we'll be so well invested. And the return on that investment will be greater than we will ever know in this lifetime. Those last four stages, pursuing, achieving, receiving, giving. You live each day pursuing, achieving, receiving, giving. You'll live a life of abundance. A life that others will marvel at. A remarkable life. Good stuff. So here's the point. This is an ongoing conversation. If we gave you a little bit of help and got some forward motion and some inertia, but you need a little more help, call back in. This is the community that I want to create here on the show. This is not about me. This isn't normal talk radio where I'm spewing my opinion every day. I really don't care to do that. What I care to do is to encourage you and to equip you, to encourage you and equip you, and to spread the word. Let people know. Call back in. You need more help? Let's go. That's what it's about. We want to celebrate people living in their significance, living their purpose, living in their sweet spot. Discover, plan, pursue, achieve, receive, give. Six stages, that when we walk through those six stages, we walk in our sweet spot. We live in our sweet spot. We thrive in our sweet spot. We live lives of purpose. 844-747-2577 is the number if you'd like to call in. We're here for you. We go next to Chicago, where Megan is on the line. Megan, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely happy to. How are you doing today?
Better than I deserve. Thank you.
Oh, I like that. That is a Dave Ramsey Show listener. Hey, I appreciate you listening to the Ken Coleman Show as well. But this is all about you, Megan. What's going on? How can I help?
So currently I'm in accounting, and I basically dread Mondays, and I just need help finding what I'm supposed to be doing.
All right. My favorite kind of call. I am fired up for this one. All right. So you need help figuring out what it is you want to do. Give me some clues. Do you have any clue at all or things that you dreamed about at some point? Tell me where you're at right now on that particular issue.
I got my degree in communications, and I love writing. It's what I'm most passionate about. Writing, travel, and I'm a big planner. I like to plan things out, stuff like that. So I kind of just want to find something that combines all of those.
Okay, I like that. So you've given me a lot of information. Real quick, just put you on the spot. Don't overthink this. What would you say that everybody, if I interviewed everybody that knows you, what would they say your top two or three talents are, your skills? You're just natural at it.
100% writing. I kind of started a personal blog, and so I share that with my friends and family, and I get a lot of really good feedback about that.
That's good news. I was hoping that was one of them.
Yeah.
Or that was going to be an awkward conversation. We're going to have to redirect you. Give me one more.
Also, again, planning. I like to help a lot of my friends and family plan trips, and I feel like that's just one thing I'm really good at, and I put a lot of effort into.
Okay. Now, between the planning and the writing, which one would you say you're better at?
Probably the writing, just because I'm more passionate about it, so I feel like I do better with
it.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, this is great news. This is very exciting.
Yeah.
Just curious, give me a range, or is there a specific topic that you have done on your personal blog that you've shared with family? What have you been writing about?
Travel. It's always travel. I always write about travel.
Oh, so now we found the sweet spot. That's it.
Yeah.
If you were going to write right now, if I said to you, hey, Megan, I'm hiring you to write a travel piece for the Ken Coleman Show, and I'm going to put it on my website, and I want value. I just want people to be either entertained or equipped or encouraged on this concept, something around travel. What would you write about? If I put you on the spot, what would you write?
So one of the things I really like to write about, and I think I do best, is how to save money and budget while traveling, because, you know, that's important for me when I travel, and I think that's important for a lot of people.
Bingo.
Who travel, yeah.
Bingo. Okay. So you're in accounting. How much do you make right now?
$13 an hour.
$13 an hour. And you're how old?
Yeah, 24.
24 years old. Okay, so next steps. We've got to replace that $13 an hour.
Right.
And that's just kind of where we're shooting for, just on a minimum goal is replacing that $13 an hour, and you need to be working in the travel industry. I don't even care if you're writing out of the gate. Number one, because you're 24. So you've got some time. And you don't make a whole lot of money. That's not an insult. That's just reality. So the good news is, I think this is a pretty easy move, and because you're 24, I want to see you move fast, because you're so young, and it's like when you hear Dave Ramsey talk about investing young, you know, that whole deal. It's the same deal. You're going to be way, 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 way in front of everybody else. So, man, I'm just thinking in Chicago. Are you open to moving anywhere around the country?
Yes, definitely.
Okay, that's great news. So now your search becomes national.
Okay.
And let's shoot for the moon as it relates to the place we want to get you to. So, for instance, I want you working for a well-known travel company, magazine, website, you know that world better than I do. So I want you to create a list of ideal places to work for you and create that list. That's what you do. And after you make that list, start doing the research with those companies. Are they hiring?
Okay.
What are they hiring? How much does it pay? And then, because you're so clear on what your strengths are, you don't have to get in right away at a writing position. If you do, Megan, that's huge. So shoot for it. Shoot for a junior writing position. You know, show them your work. You've got a lot of stuff on your blog that you take your best stuff. Maybe go back and scrub it. Maybe hire somebody locally who's an editor and say, hey, look, here's the deal. Will you scrub this if I pay you to take my writing samples to the next level? And then create, a sample of work. These are real practical steps that you can take and try to get the writing position. But if the writing position doesn't hire, they don't think you have enough experience, whatever. If you don't get it, don't worry about it. I still want you to get in with one of those organizations that we just kind of listed out, and you know which ones to best list. So are you with me so far?
Yes.
This is super practical stuff, and it's all stuff you can get done fast.
Uh-huh.
And you're applying. And because you're so good at planning, which means you're good at details,
mm-hmm.
I see you getting hired pretty easily, because who doesn't want an awesome 24-year-old gal who's talented, she knows exactly what she wants, and she's good at details. You can fit anywhere. So now you're in the building, and you're still doing your blog. You're showing people higher up, hey, eventually I want to be a writer. Let them know. There's nothing wrong with you going, hey, I want to write, and I really want to be an expert on how to travel the world on a budget. You can actually plan this, and you're not limited by your finances. I can show you how. To me, that's a real nice niche, and you can become really, really known for that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you what, while I'm rolling here, I'm rolling with all kinds of ideas. I want you to research who's out there in the world right now writing, whether all the time or at least some of the time, on how to travel on a budget. You know, I think of the top magazines. My wife gets them. You know, they're in my house all the time. We love these travel magazines. Is there somebody that's a columnist? Who are they? What are they writing about? What makes them unique? If you were gonna write their column, what would you do better? What would you do different? These are all things that are awesome exercises for you to get real clarity on who you want to be. And there's a great little book called Steal Like an Artist by Austin Kleon, Kleon. I want you to go buy that book, and I want you to digest it. And it's a great book. It'll give you some real practical things you can do to begin to steal like an artist. Here's the concept for people that are listening in. The idea here is you're not plagiarizing, but you're following people who are doing work that you love, that work that you want to do, and you're putting your own spin on what they're doing. And it will really develop you as a writer in this space. So you got a lot to do, kiddo.
Yes, I do.
But I feel like you've got a very clear path. Any other questions?
Nope, that's all. Thank you so much.
All right, Megan, I want to hear from you. And here's what else I want you to do. I want you to send me to the show, ask@kencolemanshow.com. Send me either an older article or something new you're going to do in the next 30 days. Here's a challenge if you're willing to accept it. I want you to write an article on how you can budget travel and send it to me. And if it's really,
okay,
really good, maybe I'll get the Dave Ramsey team to share it. We'll see. No guarantees.
Awesome.
No guarantees.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks for calling. 844-747-2577 is the number for you to jump in. Bryson is on the line in Somerset, Massachusetts. Bryson, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken. I'm excited to speak with you. How you doing?
Well, I'm great, man. Excited to speak with you. What's going on?
Not too much. I'm kind of stuck in a position where I'm a sales rep at a cell phone company, and I'm not very passionate about my job. There's certain elements that I like about it, but I don't feel like I'm really doing work that matters, mm-hmm. or I don't think this is kind of like the end game for me.
Sure.
And I just want to find and discover as to how to find the work that I was made to do.
Sure. What parts of the current role do you like?
I enjoy kind of building relationship with customers, giving them a good experience. I think that's fun. I like the analytics part of my job, like analyzing their accounts. And I just enjoy working with people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the good news is, I mean, I have an opportunity to be, I'm being promoted as a manager,
okay.
Which is a great opportunity because I'm excited about building a team
uh-huh.
and leadership.
Uh-huh.
I just don't see myself here for more than, you know, for the next 3 to 5 years.
That's okay. I think you take that role. And let's see what happens on this phone call. How about that?
Okay.
But let's on hold there. This idea of leading a team. Mm-hmm. Let's put that one over on the shelf here for a minute. We might come back to that. All right.
Okay.
So
okay.
Let's get back to the big issue. You said I feel stuck, and I'm trying to figure out what it is that I was created to do. So mm-hmm. You've told me some things you like about the job. I wrote down customer experience. I wrote down analytics. And what I mean by customer experience, you like serving people, which is great.
Absolutely.
Those are some likes and those are some passions. I can see that. Tell me what your top two or three talents are, things you just do really, really well.
Sure. So serving people and just giving them a good experience. I connect very well with people and building a relationship with them.
Mm-hmm.
That's definitely one of my top skills and talents.
Okay, what else?
And thinking about things in an analytical perspective and being able to solve problems from a different viewpoint.
Yeah.
I find myself I think in different ways. Like, I'm very good at analyzing situations and finding solutions to problems.
All right, anything else?
I mean, I would say those are the top two that really just hit it. So.
All right, so here's what's great. Do you see how your top talents line up with some things that you really like the most about the job? So we know that, but it's nice to identify this in your own life. It makes total sense, right? Now let's go further into the passion side of things. I know that you like the customer interaction and you're good at it. You're a good connector. I know you like analytics because you're good at analyzing and solving problems. But let's just dive into is there anything else on the list outside of those two things of analyzing and serving customers that you just feel so alive when you're engaged in this activity? Anything else?
Yeah, so I would say one thing I noticed that really lights me up is when I'm with a customer, I'm looking at their account, and it's so outdated that because of new products and services that we do offer, I'm able to save them $500 or $600 a year. And it happens quite frequently, and I think just be able to find a missing piece in their account and then being able to just make a big impact on them that way, that gets me more excited than actually selling them anything.
Yeah, you're saving them money.
Yeah.
And you know what else is happening? You know what else is happening? You're getting a lot of just personal juice out of being the hero in that moment, right? I mean, it's kind of fun.
Right.
You're like, hey, buddy, I'm checking out your account. If you do this, I'm going to save you X amount of dollars a year. And what do they do?
Oh, they're so excited. They're grateful. They get a big smile on their face, and it just makes their day. It's like one of the best surprises they've had.
Yeah.
They didn't expect it.
Yeah. So let's just have some fun. Instead of me pointing out something, let's see if we can walk you through this.
Okay.
So based on everything we've just discussed, okay, we've just highlighted and we've called out your top strengths, your top passions.
Mm-hmm.
Describe for me an amazing day for you where you're lit up. Describe it. Using what we just went through, you're using your top talents to do the work that you really love, that lights you up. What's that look like? Tell me the function. Don't describe the job. Just tell me the function. What are you doing in the course of a day?
So in the course of a day, we're at any given time or moment where I get to meet someone, whether it's expected or unexpected, and I get to just be the surprise in their day that really it just changes the direction of their day or of their week or however anything's going for them. Whenever I have those random interactions with people, that really fires me up, where I'm able to be that middleman or that catalyst that really just changes just something that's going on in their day with whatever the interaction might be.
Right.
Those are the days that I really remember, and those interactions I remember more than anything else.
Right. Now, I want you to you feel what you're feeling right now? I mean, stop in the moment and go, man, when you created that for me and you're on the other end of a phone, it feels pretty good, doesn't it?
Yeah.
All right, so now the rest of the work. So now you know your purpose. That's your why. That's why you're here. That's why you're on the planet. God created you that way. That's your specific makeup, Bryson. And so now we got to go right back into those talents. And we go, okay, we know you're good at connecting people, so you're going to need to be in a situation where you're looking people in the eye. Because that's huge for you.
Absolutely.
So we know that. All right? We also know that you need to be solving a problem through analysis.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to be looking somebody in the eye. You need to be analyzing their issues, whether it be on paper or asking them questions. And you're looking at all the facts, and you're a puzzle guy. You like to solve puzzles and solve problems. So you're pulling all that together, and you're analyzing, and then you're going, here's the fix. And then they go, oh, Bryson, seriously? Oh, man, that's unbelievable. Thank you so much. And they walk out, and you are that catalytic person in their life. And you made their life better as a result of it. That's it for you. Now,
that is spot on.
It's it, dude. Now, here's the deal. So we really did the heavy lifting right there. So for you, that's it. We didn't even put any details yet. Now you go and plug the details. And because you're such a good puzzle guy, you're now out there looking and researching for the specific puzzle pieces. And so this is going to come down to, we just did this call, and here are the questions you need to ask. Who is it that I want to help? Who specifically? identify the people that you most want to help because there's a connection to their problem. How do you want to help them? That's identifying that problem, and this is how I'm going to come in and help them. And then at the very end, you ask this question, why? And we know the why. We just walk through it. But that why is that reminder. So again, very simple process for you right now. It's about the detailed situation. So I know I put that manager situation on hold. You know, this is a great example. And by the way, I'm okay with you taking that role if it's going to take you some time to figure this out. I don't think it's going to. But let's just have some fun with this. Let's look at this managerial position that you've been offered. Does it allow you to do what we just described? What you just described. You described it. Does it allow you to do that? Are you going to have the personal one-on-one interaction with people? Are you going to help them solve the problem? Because you can lead a team and still have some personal engagement with customers. Or maybe you can't. Maybe that role won't allow you. That's what you now assess this managerial position. But really for you, you came in going, hey, Ken, I don't want to be here in the next 3 to 5 years. And I think that's great to identify that. So now it's, okay, let's get real serious about identifying who is it that I want to help? How do I want to help them? Why? You answer those questions. You've got your puzzle, put it together. And that's the kind of work you're looking for. No question in my mind, you are analyzing. You are a guy who's going to look at all the different puzzle pieces of somebody who has a challenge, and you're going to help them figure a way out. That's what you love to do. So now it's just, who are those people that I care most about helping? This gets to the heart. What's the personal connection? We all have a personal connection to the work that we do. So that's what you got to figure out. But you're there. You're right there on the doorstep. 844-747-2577 is the number for you to jump in. Camille is on the line in Orem, Utah. Camille, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi.
How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fantastic. How can I help?
Well, I think I know where I want to go, but it feels kind of like from Earth to Mars. I currently work in a sewing factory, and I don't have a college degree yet. But I love listening to your show and shows like it and business books. And I think what I'd love to do is offer consulting services to businesses to help in their people relations based on my experience.
Okay. What is that?
I don't know how to get there.
Okay. Well, just real quick, what is your experience in working in this area?
Just my experience is just my experience as an employee and working with my managers and kind of observing those relationships, trying to do my part as a good employee, but also seeing how there's a breakdown in those communications and working together. Mm-hmm. And just based on that observation and then getting really interested in business by, you know, listening to a lot of, you know, business leaders, Simon Sinek and all of them, just seeing how things could be better for both sides of the equation to make businesses grow and people be happy in what they do.
Gotcha. Well, I love the clarity of what you want to do. And so as far as getting there, let's start working through that. My first question, when you said consulting with businesses, I'm curious how much thought you've put into that idea, how specific that has become in your mind. Have you done any research on this idea of consulting with businesses on these inter-office relationships?
Not specific research. Again, it's just kind of what I've been observing in my own work and then through the what I'm learning through the books that I'm reading, just how those relationships work.
Gotcha.
No specific.
Well, that's fine. And the reason I'm drilling down on that specific description that you gave me is because when we try to figure out where you want to go and how you get there, it really is important to have tremendous clarity on that final destination. So I'm going to challenge you for just the moment here that we have together as we try to figure out the how. I'm not sure consulting businesses is maybe the role, but I think what I'm hearing is the role that you really, really want to fill is you want to help businesses with their inter-office relationships. This is a culture issue. This is a very, very vital role and an important culture strategy. So I think it's more working for an organization, and I think it's more in the human resources area. So a company that has specific focus through a human resource department And usually you're going to see a little bit bigger company there, where they've got all these different departments and they've got a growing company. And so they want to be very strategic, as they grow the culture. I think that's probably where we should start is going, okay, there are businesses in your area that are doing very, very well and they have human resource departments. And what are the opportunities there? I think that's where I would have you start to look. But I'm going to press pause on that idea because I want to make sure that we are staying in your sweet spot. Do you see that as the fit as opposed to consulting where you're working for yourself? And when you imply consulting, you're kind of moving around different clients all the time. I want to know where you're at right now when I throw another scenario at you. How does that hit you?
I have considered the HR departments within a specific company before, but there is a part of me that does like the idea of the variety of moving around, like going in, helping out, making things better, and then moving on to the next thing. It's a little scary, the idea of sure. having my own business, but there is a draw there.
Sure. Well, here's what we have to look at that. That's okay, and I'm fine with that. If that's the long-term goal, if that's your Mount Everest, then now we say, okay, how do we get there? And I still think you're going to have to make a move from the sewing factory into this space. You've got to build your bona fides, and you've got some great instincts and some great experiences as an employee. So I like the move into HR. It's going to give you the credibility that you need. And so you need to start to make that move. And so I'm thinking you're looking for an opportunity to get in, again, a good culture where they're intentional about these types of things and get hired, get in there. That's that proximity principle that I talk about a lot on the show. You know, I need to get mm-hmm. around people that are doing what I want to do, places that it's happening. So in this situation, I want to get in the place of focused inter-office relationships where we're working on that and we're working on growing individuals, growing teams, and then the culture as a whole. Now, after you make that move, so that would be, I think, the big first step after the research of, okay, what companies are hiring in HR. Get into a good situation. Then the next step is, what additional training am I going to need? After I've built some experience working in HR, moving up the ladder to where I am an internal consultant, that's your next step. And who cares what the title is, but it's the role of internally, I'm working with my company leadership on inter-office relationships, making sure that teams are winning, that we've got healthy situations, that we're growing and developing our people internally. When you can say on your resume that you've played that role over time, then I think the next step after that is, you know, can you jump out on your own? But you're going to have to be there financially. You got to be in a position where you can do that financially and start with one, maybe two clients. So that's the path forward. So again, is that making sense to you? Have any questions about what I'm outlining?
No, that's definitely more clear than what I was having on my own, because it did feel like a huge gap, from where I am to where I want to be.
Yeah, it's really not. It's those initial steps. And I know it feels intimidating, but I'm telling you, those are your next steps right now. It's just getting in the space of HR. So if in your area, where Orem, Utah, what's a major city or at least the biggest city near you?
So we're like 40 minutes south of Salt Lake City.
Okay.
So.
In your area, are there some decent sized companies in Orem?
Oh, yeah. We've got like New Skin and stuff like that around here, some pretty big stuff.
So. Yeah, so let's do baby steps, all right? Because you came to me, I'm sure, from the Dave Ramsey Show. So a couple little baby steps for you are, and again, this is a big one for everybody, but discovery. So your specific little steps in the discovery stage, which is the first stage of living and thriving in your sweet spot, you need to be looking at companies that are hiring in HR in Orem. Just start there. Just make a list. Just see what's out there. And you want, again, a healthy company. When you're getting interviewed, you're also interviewing them as well. And so I want you to get into a good, healthy company with a good, intentional culture. And just get in HR. What are you making right now in the sewing factory?
We're currently piece rate. So my salary has ranged between 25 to 30 over the last 3 years.
Yeah, that's great news. I'm here, and all I'm doing right now in these remaining seconds with you is just saying you can do this. The gap is actually really, really small because you just want to make as much as or more than you're currently making and getting into space. So that's where you want to go. And you're sitting down going, hey, here's my heart behind this. Here's why I want this HR job. You got to tell them why. And don't come in saying, hey, I eventually want to be a consultant. You don't need to get into all that. Just say, look, I have a heart for helping companies, you know, in this way. And here's why I love this work and why I want to get in HR. And just get in there. And then you take that role and you grow your role over time. And eventually you're going to get to a point where you're talking, you're making relationships, and you want to really grow in HR. Maybe you move to another company somewhere along this path. You start going to HR events. If you got a little spare time, or if your company will send you to HR conferences, you're just constantly learning, growing, learning, growing. You're making notes for one day when you're going to actually go out on your own and help businesses, small, medium, and large. That's how this happens. But once you get in the space, you're going to see that momentum is just happening all around you. And so right now, it's just hard for you to see in that sewing factory. And I get that. But you're really, really close. Thanks for the call, Camille. This is going to be fun. You're going to really help a lot of people. And I love that you're so clear on the work that you want to do. Now it's just getting in that space. The work, the opportunity will come to you. It's all about getting in the right place. I'll say this 100,000 times on this show. Get in the right place. And when you're in the right place, the right time happens. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577 is the number for you to jump in on the conversation. Caller after caller on this show, I mentioned time and money. Specifically, how much time is it going to take for you to get where you want to go, and how much money is it going to cost to do what you need to do to get where you want to be? So speaking of time and money and making your life better, my friends at FilterBuy are doing this. They have changed our life. Their filters showing up at my door when I need to change them. Obviously, huge. Saving money for me, my monthly energy bills, extending the life of my HVAC system, and more importantly, in the winter season, and it's helping with colds and allergies and all that good stuff. So it's the first of a new year. Why don't you put some convenience and quality in your life? They'll ship free within 24 hours right to the door of your home or business. 5% off if you sign up for auto delivery. You set it and forget it. And it's going to change the way you operate when it comes to your air filters. This is a life-changing service. Go to filterbuy.com. That's filterbuy.com. Some people got the real problem. You are joining the conversation about what it is you were designed to do. And once you figure that out, how do you plan and then pursue the plan? And what do you do when you begin to achieve and receive the benefits of your hard work? That is what the Ken Coleman Show is all about. Thrilled to have you with us. 844-747-2577 is the number. You can also email your question into the show, ask@kencolemanshow.com. Check me out on Twitter @KenColeman, on Instagram @KenWColeman, and facebook.com/KenColemanHost to engage with me on social media. Let's get back to your calls. Hope is on the line in Champaign, Illinois. Hope, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, how are you?
Good, Hope. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Oh, I'm happy to. So what's going on?
Well, I'm just looking for a little bit of guidance. I'm 36 years old. I'm a mother of seven. I'm about mid-career. I've worked at the same university for 11 years, and I started as a receptionist and have worked my way up through the ranks to now a business manager. I need to move out of this particular place. The culture is not aligning necessarily with my values anymore. And really the biggest thing is that I want to do something that's client focused or service oriented. And in the beginning, that's what this was. But now because of some organizational change, we've become more compliance oriented. Mm-hmm. And I'm very good at that, but it's just not, it's killing me.
Gotcha. Well, so you got bad culture and bad fit with the role. The role just isn't what it used to be. Well,
exactly.
Well, first of all, yeah, definitely want to get you out of there. No question. I think that's absolutely right. So we want to just create a plan so that you make a pretty seamless jump. That's what we're looking to do. So let's first talk about where it is you want to jump to. Do you have some ideas? I wrote down that you want to do service-oriented work. Have you allowed your brain to kind of daydream a bit and think of some work that sounds attractive?
Well, I'll be honest, with a lot of kids, we need a lot of side gigs. So I've done everything from like home organization and home cleaning and things like that that require a lot of my time, though. So I need to find something that doesn't require me physically to be putting in those kinds of hours.
Right.
More, you know what I'm saying?
Sure. Well, let me get
I do feel a little bit all over the place.
I got you. Well, let's get a snapshot on where you're at now. This is a full-time gig at the university right now, correct?
It is. Yes, it is. Right.
Right. So we're just talking about moving from one full-time gig to another, and I get what you're saying. You know, I don't think we have to think side gigs and all that kind of stuff. It's just about the time when you're a mom, you're a mom. And when you're a professional, you're a professional who's got some, you know, mom stuff going on always in the background. So let's keep our context in the same context that you're in now. So let's ask that question. What kind of service-oriented work would fire you up? Have you ever allowed yourself to just dream on that a little bit?
I've been putting in applications for the financial side of services, actually.
Okay.
Not necessarily. I do have an associate's in accounting, and like I said, I'm the business manager now. I do find pleasure in that. It does excite me to sort of see projects come from start to finish and have it done really well. Mm-hmm. It feeds my detail-oriented side, but I'd like to find a way to do that where I'm helping people too, not just looking at spreadsheets all day.
Yeah, gotcha. Okay. Well, that to me that's starting to get pretty clear. I wrote down project managing. You love project managing. So when you're, you know, leading projects that are service based or people based, is that because you need a little bit of human contact? Is that what you're talking
Absolutely.
About? Yeah, I get it. So you're not a number cruncher who just loves staring at a spreadsheet all day long and then going home. I got it.
No.
Yeah, I get that. Well, you know, to me, I think another question is we need to look at the type of work that, and I'm talking about the type of people that you really want to see helped. Just for a moment, let's have fun. Who are the people that you would love to most help, and what would be their problems? Is it the finance side of it? Well, I mean, what really makes your heart feel so full and so alive when you think of, Ken, it's these type of people with this type of problem that I would most get fired up about at the end of the day when I go home to see my 7 kiddos? I would go, oh, what a great day.
Not to be vague, but I think probably people who think that they can't do it, because that's where I was. And so that's probably what would bring me the most passion, is to help people that think that they can't do it.
Can't do what?
Well, be successful, pull themselves up by their bootstraps, maybe. So maybe not necessarily just financially, but, an example would be, I helped my little sister get herself into pharmacy school. She's wanted to do it for a long time, and she just sort of kept putting it off, and I kept encouraging, and I'm so proud of her now that'll make me smile. So,
Right.
She didn't think she could do it, and she did, and I love being a part of that kind of thing.
Yeah, okay. Let me ask you this. What department are you in at the university that you're a business manager for?
I'm in the Office of Diversity, Equity, and Access. So we manage the search process, the hiring process for the campuses, and then we also manage, initially we managed outreach for diversity programs.
Mm-hmm.
We don't do that anymore. Now we mainly focus on ADA accommodations, Title IX sexual harassment complaints.
All right, gotcha.
Into discrimination.
All right, so when you said about a minute or so ago, you said, because I did it, I want to help people that were in my situation. You didn't tell me the details. We don't have a ton of time, so don't give me the full life story, but what was your situation that you worked yourself out of? Was it finances?
It was a family history of bad finances, an early marriage that ended in divorce, a young mother at 19, worked through school and got in at the university and hit the ground running.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the reason I asked that question is because you're not 100% clear yet, which, by the way, that's okay. But listen, it's really important that you understand that's okay. But there's a certain group of people that I think if you spend some more time really thinking about, and you kind of defined the who, you did, but we want to get more specific. This is part of the discovery process. You want to drill deeper. You want to go below the surface. We're on a surface level right now about, well, I want to help people, who don't think that they can succeed. That's great. That's really, really good. We want to go a couple layers deeper until we hit that real heartfelt group of people that you care most about helping. This is getting down to values. And I think that figuring that out is your next step. But I want you to consider possibly what would be a department at the university where you could help students who are struggling. They've come to school because their mom and dad said they had to go to school, or they felt the cultural pressure to come to school. And they have no idea what their major should be. They have no idea what they want to do with their life. They need to be listening to the Ken Coleman Show, quite frankly.
Right. Exactly.
Or maybe they're in a tough situation. They've come through a tough family situation, or I don't know. Is there an office on that campus or on multiple campuses that is really looking after kids and meeting kids at their moment of need, at their moment of conflict? I'd just be curious what's already there in the university system. Sure. And it would be a move over here to where you're going, hey, I'm providing a service and I'm mm-hmm. helping people who think that they can't find a way. And I know they can find a way, and I've got some empathy, and I've got some expertise from my story.
Right.
I want you to just look there. I want you to just see what's there, because that could be a potentially really nice move. They already know you in the system, and you're shifting over to doing the type of work you love. Now, I don't want to just keep your mindset on that one idea, but that's just one idea. I want you to roll out and play with it and dive into it and see what happens. Does it really connect to your heart? If not, then that's okay, because you're in the process of going, who is the group that and you just hear me in your head going, now go deeper. Right. Who's the group? Because I do think there are a group of people that really do connect with you. And it might be helping people with their finances. It might be. It might be working for one of our SmartVestor pros in investing, or it might be working for a great local financial firm where they're helping people with taxes and budgeting and what, I don't know. You have to look into it and go, that's it. Those are the people. That's it. Those are the people, and this is the problem. Because anytime you look at serving others, and you're going, this is what I wanted, I want to provide a service, the mm-hmm. aha moment always lies with the answer to, who do I want to help? Why do I want to help them? How do I want to help them? Those are your three questions. Who do I want to help? How do I want to help them? Those are the real two biggies. And the why mm-hmm. is just the cherry on top of the sundae. Why do I want to help them? And it's always this. Once I know who I want to help and how I want to help them, the why is always because I walk through this. Right. Or somebody helped me avoid this. It's always the personal connection. Always. And the reason
that's what I'm missing.
That's what you're missing. And the reason I give you the why question is, you know what why is? Why is just confirmation. When you get scared. When you start doubting yourself or you get insecure, you go back to, wait a second, Ken told me to ask why. Why do I want to help him? And you spit that answer back out. And by the way, I want you to write all these answers down. You write down the who. You write down the how. And write down the why. And the reason you write it down, we know this from psychological studies, it gets it out and we look at it. And it allows us to constantly do two things. Number one, edit it if it needs to be edited to get it absolutely right. And then after that moment that we've got it right, it's a reminder. And it sends a signal to our brain, and our brain shoots a signal down into our heart. And we go, yep, this is my why. When the tough days come or the long road presents itself to get where it is you want to go, trust me, every person that's ever scaled Mount Everest, at some point it all came down to they're either going to quit or they remember why they're on that journey and they stayed with it and they pressed through. That's what it's all about. So you are really, really close. You're really close. I hope you just have to do a little bit more discovery. You're looking for specifics. And when you answer those three questions, there it is. And then it's just about a plan. And you're good at planning. You're good at it. You get paid to make plans and then see that the plan is fulfilled. That's the project manager in you. So you have everything you need to do this. you just need your Mount Everest. Where is it? Where are you headed? What's that ultimate destination? And as it relates to the work that you want to spend your time doing, it's huge. And by the way, I love doing what I do, folks, because it's not just about us. I can't help but think for a moment of Hope and her seven kids. I mean, these are the conversations you got to have with your kids. They've got to answer the same questions. And you can begin this process with them in adolescence. They're not going to have all the answers, but you will ingrain in them the questions that, quite frankly, the world does not teach them to ask. Who do I want to help? What do I want to do? Start either one of those. Because it's always coming down to, you know, you're using your work to do something good. So I love the who do I want to help. It kind of cuts through a lot of clutter. It's actually, to me, a far better leading question than what is it that you want to do? Because it's so easy to go, I don't know. Well, who do you want to help? How do you want to help them? Why do you want to help them? That's good stuff. Live it. Teach it. Don't ever stop asking. 844-747-2577 is the number if you'd like to jump in. Okay, folks, every Monday we have a little bit of fun with a segment where we highlight some not-so-smart decisions by people who, quite frankly, a big part of what has led to this bad decision or these hilariously dumb, stupid things is because they're just not happy. They're miserable. They're not thinking right. Now, there's more involved here. Intelligence, I think, is probably playing in on some level, but we have a little fun with this because, well, you know, some of you are just trying to make it through to the weekend, and that's not how we want to live. That's why the Ken Coleman Show is here to help you reclaim your Mondays and not have a chronic case of the Mondays.
Monday, Monday, can't trust that day.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Okay. Sounds like a case of the Mondays.
Here we go. First story comes from a fast food establishment. A person in leadership retelling a story of an employee who did something really stupid on Facebook. So she sees a couple people she recognizes in the store she manages. And they're live on Facebook. And because she follows them, she's watching it as they lick a burger patty and put it in a bun, then assemble the burger and send it down the line to be served. She watched it live. So she went in on her off day and fired them immediately. I mean, that's just intelligence. First of all, it's depraved behavior. I guess I should say that, because that's just disgusting. I mean, what kind of debased human being are you? You're going to lick somebody's burger and put it up there for them to eat. It's just ridiculous. But you're going to post it live on Facebook and, oh, you forgot that your manager follows you? Unbelievable. Up next, a probation officer out of Tallahassee, Florida, was arrested, accused of smuggling various items to an inmate in the Leon County Jail. She was arrested on the charge of smuggling contraband into a detention facility. Arrested probation officer requests this inmate to be brought to her pretrial office in reference to a subpoena. So the correctional officer brings the inmate to her office and leaves the two alone. 15 minutes later, the inmate was ready to be returned to his housing unit. The report states that the correctional officer became suspicious, as this was not the first time that the probation officer had requested to meet with this inmate. So the officer directs the inmate through an X-ray scanner and notices something concealed under his clothing. After a search, the inmate uncovered a packaged Italian deli sandwich and pastries and candy bars. So, they arrest the probation officer, and after being arrested, she denies giving the items to the inmate, suggested that he may have stolen the items from her while they were in the office. So again, if he stole the items while you were in there, wouldn't you have seen him steal the items, and wouldn't you report him, or were you just terrified because this guy really wanted a sandwich? Man, let me tell you something. That's a case of the Mondays right there if you're going to jail for giving a dude a packed lunch. All right, this gets worse. Mailman busted for delivering mail in the nude. A Wisconsin mailman. Let's stop right there. First of all, I hope it was summertime. Oh my gosh, he shows up at an office building completely naked, delivering the mail. It was a routine stop for the 52-year-old postal worker. He claimed his stunt was an attempt to cheer up a woman at the office who seemed stressed out. His antics were intended to make her laugh. Oh boy, I'm not going to make any more comments on that. Of course, the police were not amused, and during his arrest, he did apologize for the prank and admitted it was a stupid decision. Whew, that's a case of the Mondays. Wow, wow, wow. Oh my gosh, that's my favorite case of the Mondays report yet. Whew, how do you get that out of your mind? Let's go to something inspiring. We call it a quote and a question. It's how we end every show. A quote to inspire you and a question to challenge you to action. Today's quote comes from Ben Stein. You know him well. Bueller, that guy. Very successful actor, very smart guy. He once said, "The indispensable first step to getting the things you want out of life is this. Decide what you want." Pretty simple, right? But also wildly profound. Because few very often do this. Decide what it is that you want. And once you make that decision, action has to follow. Today's question, what is it that you want to be? What is it that you want to do? Clarify it. Go for it. Our time is almost up, but before I let you go, you matter and you've got what it takes. Thank you so much for joining the conversation. Until next time, this is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on. Hey folks, I want you to check out our other Ramsey Solutions podcast, like Christy Wright's Business Boutique.
Hey, I'm Christy Wright, and I help women all over the country take their ideas and passions and hobbies and turn them into profitable businesses. If you have an idea in your head or a dream in your heart, and you've ever wondered if you could make money doing it, I'm here to help. Join us on the Business Boutique podcast, where we are equipping women to make money doing what they love.
To hear full episodes, just search Business Boutique in iTunes or go to businessboutique.com.